Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy and bless his righteous name. Father God, as we come on this morning, Father God, we confess every sin of omission and commission, and we thank you for an opportunity to rise and to shine and to give your name the praise, the glory, and all of the honor. Father God, as we come, we command the morning to take hold of the ends of the earth and shake the wicked out of it. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we decree and we declare that we will have dominion over the devil in the morning. Lord, we ask that you would make the outgoings of the morning to rejoice as we receive your loving kindness this morning. Father God, we ask that you would release the beauty of your holiness from the womb of the morning and let your light break forth in our life as the morning. Father, let your judgments come upon the enemy of this morning and every morning by morning. Lord, your going forth is prepared as the morning, and we pray that you will come as the rain, the latter and the former rain upon the earth. Lord, we want to thank you for visiting us this morning. Father, how you have awakened us this morning. You have awakened our ear to hear as to learn the new mercies we see. Father God, therefore, we will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day or the terror that comes at night. Lord, thank you for showing forth your salvation in my life this day and every day, from day to day to day. Thank you, Father God, for the opportunity, Father God, to fellowship in your word. Thank you, Father God, for all the souls, Father God, being affected by receiving the word, Father God, because your word is a changing agent, Father God, and we bless you and we magnify you. Now, Father God, we embrace the gifts of this brand new day. We thank you for it, and we surrender the day back over to you, Father, that you would unfold this day according to your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And as you taught your disciples to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, both now and forevermore. And our soul says, Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we want to welcome you. Amen. As we say good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning to our listening audience on today. Welcome back. Amen. To the Life for Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Amen. When we come to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, rejoicing in this, a brand new day that the Lord has made. TGIF, today God is first, and we come seeking first his kingdom and all of his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto us. I'm Dr. Alfreda Bradford. I am your host and your kingdom coach on this beautiful day. Amen. A beautiful day. Every day that the Lord has made is beautiful. Amen. Every day above ground is a good day. Amen. And if you don't think so, just try missing one. Hallelujah. And you will know the difference. Amen. And we bless God. Amen. And to God be praise. If this is your first time with us, amen, please enjoy the services on today to the extent that you keep coming back. We meet on this platform 7 days a week. Amen. And we have been moving, amen, and on this platform for the last 10 years. And so we just want to thank God, 10 and a half years now, amen. And so we just want to thank God, amen, for his work and all of the earth, amen and amen. And we pray that everyone is encouraged, everyone is staying cool, amen, in the midst of the heat, amen. And this heat should be a reminder to us all that there is a hotter place than this. If you're uncomfortable here, this should be a reminder that there is a place where the fire is not quenched. It's called hell. hell is such a terrible experience, amen, that if you read the New Testament, you will find out that Jesus taught on hell more than he taught on heaven. Matter of fact, hell was one of Jesus' number one topics. It is so terrible. It is not God's desire that any soul goes there. Matter of fact, hell was not created for people, for souls. Amen. All souls belong to God, but the soul that sins shall die. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's what hell was created for. See? So when a person, amen, goes to hell, God didn't send you there. God does not send anybody to hell. You choose to go because there's only one person that can stop you from going. And his name is Jesus. You have to know him, see. And when you reject him, when you reject his word, then it means that you choose hell. God has given us that power. He said, you choose. His death, his life, his heaven, his hell. Now you choose. And when you reject Christ and his teachings and his word, then you have automatically, by default, you chose hell. And the real sad part about a person slipping into hell, beloved, is that it's no return. If you can just go, you know, and stay for a season, you know what I mean? Stay a year, stay 10 years, 100 years. All right, stretch it, 1,000 years. If there was an expiration date to your visitation to hell, it would still be bad, but you knew that there would, you know, be a second chance. But there is no second chance. There is no second chance. So we pray, amen, that the only way to avoid hell, amen, is through the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must know him as Lord, and we must know him as Savior. Okay. Savior is when we, amen, confess, amen, we believe in our heart, we confess in our mouth, amen, and we receive him. See, but there's so many people that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord. They only want to know him as Savior. Look, save me from going to hell, please. I don't want to go to hell. But they're not ready to change their lifestyle. They're not ready to commit. They're not ready. And so they don't know him as Lord because they don't want to know him as Lord. They don't want to live life on his terms. They want to live life on their own terms. They want to make their own decisions, have fun, whatever, as if, you know, God doesn't want us to have fun. And so there we go. And so there we have, amen, glory be to God, the difference, beloved, between the carnal Christian and those of us, amen, who live by faith. And living by faith is the will of God. Amen. And so we blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord of all, or Jesus Christ is not Lord at all. We want to thank God for our Bible study on last night. Our minister, Joanne Thurman, delivered an awesome teaching on the anointing. Very, very powerful. Amen. We had a nice crowd on last night. Amen. We want to thank God. They do send us a report, so we do know the number of people attending on our services. Amen. But if you was one of those, amen, maybe you was a little distracted. It was so good. So sometimes you don't get it all the first time. Sometimes maybe you might need to hear it again. Okay. Or if you missed it for any reason, if you desire the replay, let us know and we will send that out to you. Amen. And so be blessed the Lord.
Amen. We're teaching on the Holy Spirit. Well, actually, any teaching in God's Word involves the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has been around for in the beginning, when, you know, from the get-go was the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity wasn't born on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. No, the Holy Trinity was here from the beginning, moving upon the face of the waters, you know, before the foundation of the world. The Holy Spirit was there. So really, if you're teaching the Word of God, every teaching involves Him. Amen. So we're just taking it from a different angle this week, a different angle. Amen. The Lord is just fusing us. Amen. Giving us all of our shots. You know what I mean? Of telling you, we should be immune from Satan and his strategies and sin. I'm telling you, because the Lord is taking good. I'm not talking about no COVID-19. Look, thank God. Amen. Thank God that someone came up with something. Amen. And we pray that it works. No, God has given us everything we need. Everything we need, beloved. So we need to take heed. Just say yes to the will of the Lord, beloved. Just say yes. Why? Because let me tell you, it's coming to an end anyhow. If you live righteous or unrighteous, if you're the greatest saint or the greatest sinner, if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're black or if you're white, if you're male or if you're female, if you live in the ghetto or if you live in the suburbs, if your credit's good, your credit bad, if you're single or you're married, if you have children or no children, if you're sick or you're healthy, the playing field is the same, beloved. We all have an expiration date. It don't make no difference how much you accumulate in life. You lie here that Jeff Bezos is one step. There's a couple steps, especially because of the pandemic, to being the first trillionaire. I mean, up there with the money that Solomon had. And Solomon was the richest man in the world. No one will ever supersede the money that Solomon had. I don't care how much money you accumulate. I don't care how good your credit is, how pretty your car is, the house that you live in, the clothes that you wear, your education, you know what I mean, the salary, your reputation, you know, how many books you've written, how many people like you, how big your church is. It don't make a difference. You're going to leave it. And we forget that. We get so wrapped up into other stuff and the little stuff, beloved. We get just so wrapped up in the minor, we forget about the major. It don't make a difference how pretty you are, that sweet perfume sitting on your dresser, working out at the gym, got everything tight. All right, all that's good. The bottom line is this. You're going to leave it. You're going to leave it. So we have to be reminded of that, that you're going to leave it. Everybody has an expiration date, even Jesus Christ himself. Jesus didn't play around. He didn't stay around here talking about retirement. All right, I'm going back to heaven after retirement. Retirement is a joke. You know what? You get all these people, I mean, they retire because they have the age, they retire, okay, because they did that. But let me tell you something. If you retire and you waiting for a little check every month and scared to pay cable, I know some people, they retire and they're cutting off cable. They're cutting this off. You ain't retired, baby. You ain't retired. You need to go back and get a part-time job, maybe a full-time job, too. That ain't retirement. You scared to eat a piece of steak? Come on, I'm retired now. I'm retired. No, you ain't retired. That ain't living. That ain't the type of retirement. You just need to cut it and go on back to work. Talking about you retired and tossing and turning, talking about how you going to figure your bed. You can't even, amen, watch a movie. You retired and you going to tell me that you can't even watch a movie? Talking about it's going to cost you $4.55? You ain't retired. So you caught up in the rat race. That's what you are, caught up in the rat race. Jesus said he had 33 and a half years. He said, I'm out. I'm gone. I'll be back. You notice it took Jesus 30 years to do a 3.5-year ministry? The preparation time is always longer than the work. Always longer. But no, we want to be, you know, overnight superstars. We want to be overnight. We don't want to wait for nothing. 30 years Jesus waited. And that was Jesus. 3.5 years, effective. See? And then he was gone. Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus went, we going too. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. Beloved, you're not going to always be getting a telephone call that a family member or a friend passed on. I want to bring somebody to reality this morning to know that one day somebody going to be getting a phone call that you passed on. And we forget that reality. We don't live for it. We don't prepare for it. We don't have nothing in order. How can you live and then knowing you're going to die, but because you're not in reality, now they're passing a bucket. You don't have life insurance. You don't have a will. The family is all up, don't know what to do. You don't have no instructions tucked away nowhere. You didn't leave your family 2 cents. You can't leave your family no rented house. You can't pass that on. See? And worse than that, beloved, amen, our soul is not ready. Our soul is not ready. So, beloved, amen, what we need to do, amen, is just stay with the reality. Not that we're focusing on death. And then we should be focusing, amen, on that flesh dying. Now, we want to focus on life, but you got to, but while you're living, live like you're dying. Live like today could be your last day, beloved. If you knew today would be your last day, would you wait until tomorrow, amen, to do something else? No. If you knew today was going to be your last day, you'd be getting your business in order. You'll be going down your checklist. But that's how we ought to live. Because the truth of the matter is you don't know. It could be your last day. The rapture could take place at any moment. Everything has been done. Beloved, we are living in the end of the age. All these signs, all these wars, rumors of wars, the pandemic, all of this is just signs that Jesus is on his way back. And it don't take Jesus long to get back. It's not like he's traveling in a time capsule. It's going to take him 515 years to get back. No, amen. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen so quick, it's just going to be done. How do we know today ain't today? Why is it always tomorrow, one day, soon? I want you to know that today could be the day that Jesus returns. And if he allows death to come in to get you, that's your rapture right there. We don't want to get to the end of our days and have regrets. Oh, I wish I had said I'm sorry. I wish I had hated sin. What? And God is so kind and so patient with us. Sometimes we know people doing wrong. We know people doing wrong. And that's why they do wrong for so long, because it seems like they're getting away with it. They said, oh, ain't nothing happened here. Shoot. I thought nothing bad happened, no consequences. So they keep on doing it. But what they don't realize is God being patient with them. He's so long-suffering. giving us time to turn, giving us time to repent and confess our sins, giving us time to get it right. And most of the time we take that for granted and we think it's God's approval because God's taking so long. I had one sister tell me that, glory be to God. I saw her in the store. We used to work together. Marsha, oh, excellent, excellent sister. In reference to administrative skills, just really, really awesome, off the chart. And we worked together for a little while. Amen. And she said, well, I'm shacking with my boyfriend, and I'm doing this. And I mean, just boasted about it. We was over there at A+. I think I went in to get some gas, and she was in there buying something. And she was almost like boasting. She said, and yeah, and seemed like God blessing me. He blessing me, Pastor Bradford. Yeah. Yeah, just got a new job. She running down. She running down the sin, and she running down the blessings like she ain't got approval. See? Because God is just so slow. See? See, this is how the devil can twist you. Make you think that God is winking at you, that, you know, you got some special permission. God is giving you some type of exception. But I know what God's word say, but that don't include me because, you know, because God know my heart. Yeah, God know your heart. The question is, what does he know? So that's how the devil twists us up. Glory be to God. Well, that was the first time I saw Marsha. Well, I saw Marsha again about maybe less than 6 months after that visit. And it was a whole different story. A whole different story. I had some money on me at that time, and I went on and gave her some money because the Holy Spirit told me to do it. The Holy Spirit told me to do it. Whole different story. I don't know how she's doing now, amen, but I'm continuing to pray for her. I think we are Facebook buddies. I haven't heard from her in a while. I pray that all is well. The choice is yours, beloved, but the consequences belong to God. So just keep in mind, work as hard as you can work. Get what you can get. Give what you can give. Beloved, love at all times. Live your best life ever. Look your best. Smell your best. Do your best. But just remember that there is an expiration date. So what does it profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? What does it profit if, say, you did achieve your goal? You super exceeded your goal. And then you turn around and lose your soul. Was it really worth it? Well, it's going to be too late to answer it at that time. It's going to be too late to answer it at that time. There's no such place as purgatory. Don't let nobody tell you that, you know, you can go and, you know, and pay a certain amount of money and the rosary and all this and all that and all that and pray somebody after they leave. You're going to pray them into heaven. They're in some holding place and baby, don't believe the lie. They twisting the gospel, and the Bible calls anybody who twists the gospel accursed. It's only two destinations. It's heaven or hell. And it's no in between. It's not up to God which one you go to. It's up to you. Father God, we say, as we go, that was just my introduction, believe it or not. May the words of our mouth, Father God, and may the thank you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart is acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And we bless be the name of the Lord. We want to talk to you today and tomorrow, amen, on meeting the conditions, beloved. We want to know, what is your position? Glory be to God. We know that we as parents, we some of us that are parents, okay, most of us are, amen, glory be to God. And we tell our children, give our children chores, or should be giving our children chores. Amen. That's why some of our children are so spoiled rotten, you know, because we doing all the chores. That's why they sitting down watching TV. Glory be to God. Okay, but we give our children chores or responsibilities that they don't really want to do. Okay, and that's normal because, and it, you know, even with us growing up, you know, sometimes you just really don't want to complete the chores that your parents or your guardians give you to do. But nevertheless, beloved, if our children want to do them or not, we expect them to obey us. See, however, beloved. Amen. Sometimes the children will ask, why, mommy, why, daddy, why? Beloved, and we as parents, amen, we should never be offended when we are asked why. Why do you want me to do this? Or do it this way, Johnny, why? We should never be offended, see. Whether or not, beloved, amen, we can answer the question, amen, to their satisfaction, because sometimes when our children ask us why, you know, I mean, the answer that we give them may not be adequate to their satisfaction, see, or sometimes they're just not sufficiently satisfied regardless, glory be to God, and sometimes they cannot understand the reason behind the request. I know a lot of times my mother would tell me to do things and I didn't know what. Why is she telling me? Why? Glory be to God. And a lot of times we don't. But nevertheless, see, we still expect our children to trust us enough to obey what we ask them to do. Sometimes we, you know, I mean, just trust me and do what I'm telling you to do as your parent. Why? Because, beloved, I mean, they know that we love them. See, glory be to God. And so, beloved, I mean, likewise, amen, God himself is never offended when you ask him for an explanation. You may not understand God's answer. You may not even like God's answer. Mm-hmm. Or you may not be mature enough to understand it. But as your heavenly Father, he is not offended by you asking him for clarification. And this is why in the book of James, chapter number 1, verse number 5, it tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So the scripture here, beloved, begins with the word if. The word if assumes, beloved, that there are times when you need an answer from God. There are times. It says, if any of you lack, the word lack, beloved, amen, is a Greek word for deficiency. Glory be to God. In the Old Testament, it describes possessing something only in a measure, which, of course, means that you were lacking the rest. Maybe you pressed a little bit, possessed just a teeny bit of something. Now, sometimes we got it, but we only have a little bit of it, see? But it was just a remnant of what you really need. I got part of it, but I don't have the whole thing. I see a little bit, but I need a little bit more clarity here. You know, I want to be clear. Glory be to God. And so, beloved, amen, amen. The word means, amen, depicts a deficit, insufficiency, where there's a shortage or there's an undersupply. And so we see in our scripture on this morning, James 1 and 5, it's meant to be without or to have want of, to be in need of, to be lacking, to be short of, to be low on, to not have enough of something that exists in an insufficient amount, lack. I'm a little short over here. I'm in need of this. If there's still a deficit here. Lord, there's some insufficiency here. There's a shortage of here. All of these, beloved, meanings correctly convey the definition of that word lack in the Greek. But for our purposes, we would say it could be interpreted, beloved, if you are short on wisdom, if there's an insufficiency of wisdom, if there's an undersupply of wisdom, if there's a deficit of wisdom, or if you find yourself lacking wisdom, what did James mean, beloved, when he used that word wisdom? The word wisdom, beloved, describes special insight or special understanding. You lack insight. You lack special insight. There's a my insight has a deficiency. See. So, beloved, amen. Hence, this verse could be interpreted with, in light of the Greek definition, glory be to God, in the Greek Bible, amen. If any one among you lacks special understanding regarding an issue, does anybody have an issue this morning where you're lacking special insight, wisdom, not knowing what to do? This word denoted special insight and understanding that could be worked out in real life practice. It was an answer, an insight, or an enlightenment that has some type of practical application, beloved. So what the scripture is saying here is, if any of you are short on knowing what to do, if any one of you is experiencing a deficit regarding what action to take, or if any one of you is in need of special answers regarding what to do. Next, beloved, James told us what to do. And isn't God so good? Amen. He predicts the problem, you turn around, and he gives you the answer. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have a lot of years of education, amen, glory be to God, and still considering and still taking some other courses, amen. But very rarely, even with an open book test, beloved, you still got to search for the answers. The open book test is not easy because you only got a limited amount of time, and you got to know where to go to find the answer. Now you got to read the whole paragraph. You got to read the whole section to try to find the three-word answer. So an open book test is really not an easy thing if you haven't studied. See? But only God himself gives us the question, and then he turns around and he gives us the answer. So here James tells us what to do if we are lacking wisdom, if there's a deficit, if there's insufficiency, if we don't know what to do when I don't know what to do. What's the answer to this equation? He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. See, let him ask. Beloved, when we look at that word ask, it is a Greek word that means to be adamant in requesting and demanding assistance to meet tangible needs, such as your food, your shelter, your money, and so forth. In addition to that, it expresses the idea that one can possess a full expectation to receive what has been firmly requested. This means, beloved, that you shouldn't go to God only for spiritual blessings. Because the use of this word tells us, beloved, that most questions about which you seek his wisdom will involve practical answers as well as spiritual answers pertaining to your tangible needs. We all need to eat. We all need shelter. We all need money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Glory be to God. Needs. Those are our basic needs. But the point I want to make today, and we're going to pick up here tomorrow, we're going to take it a little bit deeper tomorrow, Lord's willing. There's a condition to God answering you, which we have overlooked in Christendom. There's a condition. Well, God says, if any of you lack wisdom, just let him ask of God, and God will give it to you. He'll upbraid if not. All right, but let's look at this. Let's look at this scripture. All right, did God say that? Okay, so let's look at it. Glory be to God. Beloved, God, when we look at this scripture, there's one condition that we must fulfill before he will answer our petitions for wisdom. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, of God. That word of, beloved, in the Greek is para, P-A-R-A, which means close. We know, glory be to God. We just talked about the Holy Spirit, glory be to God, amen. Up close, of side by side, or alongside. As used in this verse, this word provides the condition that we must meet in order for God to answer us. Beloved, to qualify for God's answer, we must be in a close, side-by-side position with him. You can't follow God from afar off and think that God is going to answer your question. Jesus, which you hollering. You five blocks around the corner. You five blocks back. Oh, what I do today? I don't know what to do. No. That's why ain't nothing happening. You following Jesus from afar off. You one of them secret Christians? You one that don't have time to spend with intimate with him? He's always on the back burner. He's always last if you remember him at all that day. The scripture says here, beloved, amen, let him ask of God, amen, because we have a side-by-side relationship, because we are walking with him, we are close to him. Glory be to God. And that song says, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. But not only is he walking with you, you're walking with him. Because you have fellowship. Because you have intimacy. See? And because you have this closeness with him, glory be to God, and this intimacy, and you can ask the Holy Spirit to grant you, God, to grant you wisdom pertaining to this, amen, and he does it. He is not intimidated by you asking him. He is not offended by you asking him. Matter of fact, he wants you to know. He reveals his secrets to his servants. The closer you get to God, the more beautiful it is, that love relationship. And this is why the devil fights so hard to keep us distracted, that we don't have this closeness with him. I mean, I'm at a point now where, you know what I mean, sometimes I'm not even amazed anymore. All I have to do is continue to remember the acts. I was just talking to God yesterday, the day before. I just said, Lord, and I just broke it down because I was trying to figure some stuff out, and I had to remember that the Holy Spirit was there, and I just put it out there. I asked a couple questions, and I lied to y'all not. Made my tongue clean to the roof of my gum. Glory be to God. It wasn't but 3 minutes later, if it was 3 minutes, the Holy Spirit unfolded that thing to me. Because we have an intimate relationship. You can ask God whatever you want. He gonna tell, now he might, he gonna, look, like I said, you might not like the answer. You might not be ready for the answer. But God will give you the answer. He will tell you what he wants you to know and what you need to know for at this particular time. A lot of times we don't even go to him, or we don't qualify. You have to meet the conditions, beloved. Glory be to God. To qualify for God's answer, we must be in a close, side-by-side position with him. Let me ask you a question. What's your position today? Oh, I'm an elder in the church. I'm a this. No. Later for that. You got devils with positions in the church. We ain't talking about that. What's your position with him? How close are you walking with? How close is he to you? How close? See, because when you have a close relationship and intimacy with the Lord, everything else got to go. Everything else got to go. Sin, you got to go. You got to go. Matter of fact, God says this. He said, love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. That's the first commandment. I got to love him more than my kids. Yes, you do. You got to love him more than yourself. God, beloved, our Father, truly desires to clearly and abundantly answer our questions, because we know we got some. Some of us got a whole lot of them, and it's okay, because he wants to answer them. He don't want you to be confused. He will not refrain from answering us as long as we get in the right position to ask him. You see, beloved, God doesn't want to just answer our request for wisdom. He wants us to come alongside him, close to his heart. And in that position, he will not only answer us, beloved, but he will embrace us, he will cleanse us, and he will change us. It don't get no better than that. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me and you. Hence, beloved, the Father first beckons us to draw as near to him as possible. Then once we are in that close side-by-side position, God opens his hand to show us the wisdom we lack and the wisdom that we are seeking to gain. Think of it, beloved. You are just a prayer away from assuming that close side-by-side position with God, just one prayer away. So, beloved, so with these thoughts in mind, and we look at James 1 and 5 in the Greek as we close, we could read it like this. Glory be to the living God. If you are short on answers you need, ask God to give you those answers. But the one request he makes first, before he will provide the answers you are asking him for, is that you come alongside him. Now, I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think that's too much to ask. Matter of fact, it is my pleasure. It is my pleasure. Move out of my way. Sin, move out of my way. Move out of my way. God is calling me. God is calling me. Beloved, tomorrow, Lord's willing, I'll show you what God promises, which ones of his promises will happen when you put yourself in that close side-by-side position alongside him. I was going to teach it today. So I said, let me back up and let me set the platform so you can receive the word that's coming tomorrow, Lord's willing. But today, beloved, I want you to see the point, and please don't miss it, that if you are experiencing a shortfall of wisdom, God invites you to ask him for insight. You're talking to all the wrong people. You're calling this person, you're calling that person, you're calling that person. Maybe this person got a word. Maybe this person got a prophecy. Maybe this person. You're calling all the wrong people. Now, God might use some of them, but you got things out of order. You got to put first things first. Seek God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You go to God. And let me tell you something. When you go to God, if God wants you to talk to somebody, he's not going to be throwing you around like no ping pong. Like no yo-yo. It's going to be a direct connect. Why? Because God did it and you honored him. Glory be to God. And I want to remind you, beloved, that you can continue to ask him for answers, because he's the only one that know anyhow. So save your breath, save your life, save your time. And you asking for an explanation does not offend God. Matter of fact, if you really read James 1 and 5, he encourages us to ask. And when God answers, beloved, as I said, you may not enjoy what he tells you. Or you may not be mature enough to truly understand it. But one thing is clear. He wants you to ask for clarification if you need it. So, come on, draw near to God. Draw near to the Lord. Draw near, Father. Draw near. Draw near. Do I hear that song? Hallelujah. Draw me, and I'll come running after you. Come on, saints, draw near to God. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Draw near to God, beloved, and ask him for the wisdom you lack. Just be honest. I don't know. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it when people are open and transparent. What do you think? I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, Bishop? What you think? So what? You're a bishop. I don't know. What do you think, Mommy? I don't know. Boss man? I don't know. I don't know. I have one girlfriend, amen, Pastor Suzette Baird, amen. She's known for saying, let's pray one more prayer. What do you think, Pastor Bradford? I don't know, baby. Let's pray one more prayer. Let's pray one more prayer. And we're going to keep praying until we know, because we don't know. Glory be to God. Ask God for the wisdom that you lack. And he is utterly faithful to his promises. And he promises that he will give you what you lack for. And not only will he give it to you, he will give it to you liberally and without reproach. Get no better than that. Amen. Beloved, have you met and satisfied the mandatory conditions to receive that wisdom? Amen. We're going to talk about it again tomorrow. We're going to take it a little bit deeper. Don't miss tomorrow. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of God on today. You said if any man lacks wisdom, he is to ask of you, and wisdom will be granted liberally. Father, we thank you for your willingness to give us answers, to give us understanding and clarification about our life, and about our situations that we are facing right now. If we don't enjoy the answer, or had the maturity to completely understand. We ask you, Father, for the grace to obey you regardless. Regardless. As we know that you only have the best in mind for us and for our family. In Jesus' name we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. And our soul says, amen, amen, and amen. All right, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Amen. Thank God for the word of God on today. And his word will not return to him void, but it will always accomplish everything that he has sent it forth to do. Amen and amen. In form of announcement today, amen. If you missed last night's Bible study with our sister Joanne Thurman, please send me a text and I'll send you the replay. It's probably better if I email it to you, though. And all you have to do is an MP3, just click the button and listen to it. It's a very, very powerful teaching on the anointing. Amen. Very, very powerful teaching. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. And to God be praise, glory, and all the honor. How did Sister Priscilla say that last night? Let me look at my Bible. Let me look at when she gave her comments at the end of the teaching. Amen. Let me see the exact word that she used. Amen. She said it was a consecrated word. That's what she said. And it definitely was a consecrated word. Amen. If you missed last night's Bible study, you missed the Bible study of the year. Amen. In form of announcements, we will be at the altar of prayer today. Amen. At 12 o'clock. Amen. And then Lord's willing back at 9 o'clock. Amen. This Friday night is our Friday night corporate prayer at 10. Amen. Saints, amen. We know a lot of people are going to be trying to get into a party mode for the 4th of July. That's a good thing. Amen. Do it after prayer. Sacrifice Friday night prayer, and I'm sure your weekend will go better. Amen. No altar of prayer on Monday. No altar of prayer on Monday. We don't do the altar of prayer on holidays. Amen. We realize that that a lot of times we're with family and friends, and it would be a good time to do it, but why don't you do it? We leave that open for you. You should be prayed up. Amen. And you should be able to handle that with your family and friends. Amen. To be able to, amen, witness the word. Amen. Glory be to God. And so no altar of prayer, amen, on Monday. And so we blessed be the name of Jesus. All right, that's it for today, saints. Amen. My pleasure to be in your service on today. We will pick up right here where we left off. Amen. I want to show you, amen, glory be to God. Minister Joanne last night gave us the five levels of the anointing. Go, girl. I tell you, iron sharpens iron. I just go, girl. That's all I can say. And we give God praise. Tomorrow, amen, she has motivated me, amen, as part two of our teaching. I want to show you tomorrow the guarantees that God gives you, the five guarantees. That you have five guarantees. I mean, God guarantees. Now, let me tell you something. There's no guarantees in this world. People trying to find it through the vaccine. People trying to find it here. They just trying to find it there. You know what I mean? They want their spouse in love. We pray you stay together to death do your part, but ain't no guarantees. It ain't no guarantees, but God does have guarantees. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're coming out of that same verse tomorrow. Amen. God does have guarantees. Amen. And you might want to know what they are. Amen. And we bless the Lord. All right, Father God, we say thank you for the word of God on today. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we thank you that your word will never return into your void, but it will always accomplish everything that you have sent it forth to do. Father, help us to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Father, give us a desire to draw close to you. Father God, we have so many things that are distracting us, Father God, from our full attention on you. And as you opened up this service, none of it don't matter because we all going to leave it. The things that we are allowing to distract us from being close to you is we're going to leave. We don't even think about that. We give it all our life, all our money, all our time, and all our attention, and we're going to leave it. Then we get to the end of our day, and you said only what we do for Christ is going to last. Father, forgive us. And thank you for opening our eyes to see. Father, give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, that we might just want to fall in love with you. Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. And we say thank you. Father, show us your pathway for provisions and help today. Help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. Father, we ask that you would cancel accidents, incidents, and calamities, bad news, premature death. Father, we ask that you would cancel all these things even right now. And we say thank you, Father. Meet us at the altar of prayer. Anoint the prayer warriors as they come to serve on today and tonight, Father God. And we say thank you, and we bless you, and we magnify your holy and your righteous name. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Now we bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Ghost. And we seal this prayer by the word, the blood, and the spirit, and we cast it at Jesus' feet to decree and to declare that it cannot and it will not be broken. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now unto him. Who is able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the church said amen and amen and amen. And the Holy Spirit just spoke. For those of you who are not familiar with speaking in tongues, God can give you the gift to interpret what you just said. And sometimes some of us have the gift to interpret what other people have said in their heavenly language. Somebody is struggling with a decision today, and you're lacking wisdom, and you're about to make the wrong move. You're about to cause shipwreck and devastation to your life and to your destiny. You're about to make the wrong move because you have not spoken to God, you have not waited on God, and you're not walking close enough to God, amen, for God to reveal, amen, what you need to know. There's too many interferences, too many distractions. The space between you and God, amen, needs to be closed in. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you know who I'm talking to. The Lord said, don't do it. The Lord said, no. The answer for you right now is no. In Jesus' name. And the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. And Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled, and Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings. Amen. And he is the Lord of Lords. Blessings, blessings, blessings.
Will you receive amen. Minister Natasha Cobb tonight? Come on, put your hands together like this.
Blessings, 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 and more blessings. Amen. Meet you at the altar today, Lord's willing. Amen. Pastor Bradford signing out.